Now, sitting in front of me is Hattie Holden Edwards, who's got
Edmunds.
A book.
Sorry to interrupt. Edmunds.
Thank you. I'm terribly sorry. Edmunds. I'm rushing. She's written a wonderful book called Cinema Lumière. But before we talk about that, I know that you've done a lot of research into like pop-up cinemas. I'm very interested in this trend of contemporary cinema and what's happening. And you set up... tell me what you
I didn't set it up. I had a very small hand in setting up the Portobello pop-up.
Okay.
Which is such a quirky little cinema. It's under the Westway.
Right.
And all the cinema seats were salvaged from an old cinema in Liverpool.
Okay.
And the ticket booth is a lovely old little popcorn booth from Bognor Regis. Yeah. We bought those on eBay.
Right.
And the projector is housed in an old salvaged shipping container.
Okay, fantastic.
And it's just everything is recycled. And it's the most beautiful little cinema that spreads a lot of joy for very little money.
Yes.
£3.50 to get in. At the moment, there's a festival going on, which is completely free.
Well, wonderful.
And it's how cinema should be.
Yes.
Literally for everybody.
So where is it? I mean, is it open air? Are you in a building under the Westway?
No, you are under the Westway motorway. That's above.
Yes.
And you have on either side the supporting pillars of
right.
the motorway.
Yes.
And behind you is the shipping containers containing the projector.
Right. So you're in the elements watching a movie.
You are in the
yes,
elements.
Yes,
sound is as good as it can be underneath
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But it's a proper urban cinema.
And do you have to deconstruct it every night after a screening, or does it just
sit
there?
It sits there permanently because the seats are proper old leather cinema
seats.
Oh,
right, okay.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
That's great. So, and now explain to me. So is that's a pop-up cinema?
Well, it's called a pop-up, but actually it's been there for
it's
5 years.
It's getting a bit permanent now. It's not pop-up any longer. It ain't
yes,
pop-up
exactly.
now. So explain to me the concept, though, of secret cinema. I'm a little bit vague about that.
Secret cinema is when you don't really know what you're going to see.
Right.
And you don't know where it's going to be.
Yes.
So you literally are sort of given the instructions on the day to turn up wherever, you know, you just don't know.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to dress up and you will see, and then you will be taken to the location and
yeah.
be shown something. So it's a much more interactive experience than sitting in your little, you know, seat in the multiplex.
And, yeah. And how do you find out? Online, presumably,
yes.
a website or something?
Exactly. Just sort of Google secret cinema.
Yes, and see what's around.
Exactly.
So you don't know what you're going to see.
You don't know what you're going to see.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like that, really.
Oh, I don't know. Element of surprise.
But it does. I mean, the reason that I'm doing this today is because I'm sensing this real movement that's going on of these smaller community cinemas, if you like, for the want of a better word, that people are generating themselves and building themselves. It's fantastic.
They are, and they're also really thinking, okay, where would be a delightful place to do it?
Yes.
So there's something called the floating cinema, which is on a little narrow boat. There's three of them actually, one in Maida Vale, another
yeah.
in Hackney,
mm-hmm.
and it probably seats about 12 people.
Yes.
And you float around the waterways at dusk.
Watching a movie.
And what fantastic. Could be nicer?
Fantastic. I love that. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So, okay, tell me about your book. Tell me about Cinema Lumière.
Yeah, well, it's about a cinema with just one seat.
Right.
Where you're shown a film of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fictional cinema, obviously. And the main character's messed up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
a woman called Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's shown what she's done to date. And it's what happens afterwards as well when she, you know, realises that she's messed up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I actually got the idea from a real life experience, actually.
Oh, really?
Of somebody else, an account
yeah.
of somebody who had a near-death experience.
Right.
And during that, they were shown a film of their life. Now, it wasn't
wow.
a quick flash-by.
No.
It was a 3D panoramic. She said she could feel the feelings that she felt at the time.
Extraordinary.
And she obviously came back.
Yes.
And
glad to hear
changed
it.
Her life completely from that day.
Well, yeah.
And that's where I got the idea from.
That's remarkable. And so did you do, was it necessary for you to do a lot of research before you wrote the book, or was it just all kind of there anyway, that it's come out of that story?
A lot of it came out of the story. It's partly set in Paris because, of course, the old man who's making the films, who is he and how
right.
can he make them? And it turns out he's an old French filmmaker. He
right.
used to make films with Truffaut,
right.
Truffaut and Godard.
Yeah, yeah.
And his favourite cinema is Studio 28, which is in Paris, which is the oldest cinema.
Oh, right. Well, that's interesting. I
and
didn't
it
know
is
that.
Also a lovely cinema.
Yes.
So I had to obviously go there, and it's still got all the light fittings by Cocteau.
Oh, God,
and
oh my God.
And the
wonderful.
Old piano that used to be played during Charlie Chaplin's films.
How fantastic. I must go there sometime.
You really should.
I really should.
Yes.
That sounds brilliant. That's brilliant. So how long... How long did it take you to write?
Well, about 10 years, I'm afraid.
Yes, so no, don't be
really
afraid.
A little bit embarrassing. I started it about 10 years ago, and I got an agent, and there was, you know, a bit of excitement and some nibbles from publishers, but nothing, obviously, solid.
Yeah.
And so I went away, and I wrote another book, and I wrote another. But this one just kept on tapping
kept
me on the shoulder.
Nagging at you. Yes.
Until I had to go back and give it a thorough overhaul, which it needed.
Yes.
And a
yes,
year later,
sure.
Here it is.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, what also, I'm wondering, just thinking about outside London a bit, and what's... I'm guessing this kind of thing's happening all over the UK, actually.
It is, actually. There's a brilliant festival called 510, and they're doing it all along the Medway and in Kent.
Right.
And it using fantastic little locations. One of the things, a tiny two-seater boat that also drifts around off
wow.
the end of a pier.
Yes.
And they're going to do these little sort of nightly projections. So you won't see the camera, but you'll be walking past an empty shop and suddenly all these red fish will be darting across the window.
What?
So they've right. they've used artists as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
To create this. But it's, it's from on the 10th to the 12th of October. And it's going to be an absolutely magical festival.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
And free again.
Yes. That's wonderful what people are doing. I just love this.
Isn't
it's
it?
Absolutely
yeah.
brilliant. Brilliant.
Important, to get people out of that sterile multiplex and give them a
yes,
more, same
exactly.
thing's happening in theatre, a more interactive experience.
Yes, sure, absolutely. And a lot of those, obviously, what's interesting too, people, as they have in Crouch End, putting a cinema together, well, building one in a building, but also using it for productions, theatrical productions, and music, and stand-up,
Very good, yes.
It's terrific.
They're doing that at the Coronet, actually. They're just...
Are they?
A very old theatre anyway.
Sure.
Has been a cinema for a long time.
Yeah,
and they're
time.
Turning it back, so it does both things. And why not?
Yes.
With these beautiful old buildings.
Exactly. I mean, it's got all that potential. And there's also that thing, too, I think of a foyer of a cinema. The traditional foyer is kind of sterile, really.
Yeah.
And it's a huge space, or a really great space to use for cafe, bookshop, art exhibitions, stuff
yeah.
like that.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. Now we're, obviously not all church-going nation anymore, and,
you know,
pubs maybe not be so appealing, so make them proper little meeting places.
Yes, yeah. So it's just a brilliant trend, absolutely wonderful. So is this your third book?
Well, it's the first one, but then I've written two others which aren't
oh, I
out
see.
Yet.
Oh, right. All right.
I'm working, reworking.
Tell us what the other ones are.
Something.
Go on, plug away.
Oh, plug away. Well, it might sort of muddy the waters a bit, but
the
second one's about a very jaded, cynical artist who is... looks at the world through, not such good eyesight. And he gets a pair of glasses, and when he looks through them, he sees a little glimpse of heaven.
Whoa.
And he starts to examine, is his perception of the world reality, or is there another reality?
Right, right.
But this, the Cinema Lumiere is the one that I'm kind of... Yeah, that's the one I hold
yes,
that in my
yes.
heart the closest.
I look forward to
definitely.
This. Hattie, thank you so much. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, well, thank you. That was a
nice
real pleasure.
Nice to meet you. Lovely to meet you.
You too.